Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a interesting assortment of stuff to talk about today. We are joined with our regular crew, Nick and Randy, starting with Nick. How's it going?
Hey! I'm doing good. How are you?
There's that energy. Good. How are you, Randy?
Mushy mushy, arigato.
We have so
For the record, Drew, I had more energy. I had way more energy.
Okay, fine, fine.
I would say Nick was at about a 9, Randy was about an 8.
Well, hang on. Wait. Let's do that again.
Well, if we're doing redos,
he's going to turn down the volume first.
Ask me.
Yeah, everyone, mute your phone.
Mute your phone. Here we go. This is okay. This is your chance.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Yeah!
Man, that was a 13.
8.5. All right.
Nick still won.
Randy's excited because this is the first podcast post Randy owning a Model 3, which we'll talk about later.
No.
Yes, we can't talk about this now.
Wait, we'll talk about it later.
We'll postpone that till later.
But yeah, we'll
come back to this because I know Apple. Our audience is like, there's only a few vocal people. Please don't talk about Tesla. Ladies and gentlemen, specifically gentlemen who I've engaged with this whole topic, Drew likes Tesla. It's okay if you don't. There's nothing wrong if we're talking about or Drew's making dedicated videos to expand our horizons, draw other audience in. We're not walking away from smartphones and consumer tech. We love that stuff. That's our life. But it's okay to, you know, refresh the palate a little bit from the mundane routine. So just, you know, we're human.
I mean,
it's tech.
It's Talos of Tech. That's specifically why we didn't call it, you know, Apple Sheep.
Exactly.
The YouTube channel or the Apple Sheep podcast, because then we would be restricted to
if
just
smart
Apple.
Homes start getting more interesting, I would bet my bottom dollar we'd be covering that too, because we all have a home we live in. So we talk
we
about what's
talk
relevant.
About
some of
most...
us do. Don't remind me, Randy. I still live in the insane asylum.
Where are you calling us from, Nick?
But it's a smart insane asylum.
It is.
We have smart bulbs. We just have Alexas and Google, so it's not super
Nick
smart,
is,
unfortunately.
He's talking to us. Every time we do an episode now lately, he's in a different state. This time, we're all in California. We're just in different cities.
Exactly.
Which means nothing, because California is enormous.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, hey, we're all in the same time zone. We didn't have to say, you're on East Coast or Central or Mountain. Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, for the past, 2 months, I've been all over the country.
And that's what I wanted. But it took an hour for us to get this call working.
Yeah,
that
Nick.
Okay, guys. So, can we just take, 5 minutes here and just complain about ISPs, Internet Service Providers?
Absolutely.
They
Go ahead.
Suck so bad.
They do. They're all bad.
Very.
There's not a good one.
So
100%.
So I'm with some family right now in Los Angeles, and the only ISP that goes in their neighborhood and down their street is Charter Spectrum, and so they get coax cable Wi-Fi internet, and that's already not good. But half the time, you go to do something on the internet and the internet's down. For one reason or another, the coax cable is not connected to the rest of the network. And it's just you had one job, people. Literally, my family pays them, however much money a month to get phone, TV, and internet. They literally have one job to give them phone, TV, and internet. But they don't. So that is in the city problems. But my another part of my family just bought a house in the sticks, and I've been out there visiting them, and they can't get any internet. There's no service provider who's going to give them any cable or any wired connection to the internet. So we've been looking at what options they have, and we narrowed it down to satellite internet, which is something I have zero experience with, and I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about satellite internet.
I have experience with satellite internet, and it's not good. It's horrible. when we were growing up, we actually didn't get high-speed internet for a long time. It took us a considerably long amount of time before we could get unlimited, just usable internet that would let you watch a video and stuff. But the first one we got was because we just had dial-up, and then after dial-up we got satellite, which I think it was a company called HughesNet or something
that's
like
what
that.
They got. Hugsnet.
Oh yeah,
or something. Every time I look at it, I'm like, Hugsnet.
yeah, for one, they cap it. At least back in those days, this was many, many years ago. But
yeah,
the data cap was noticeably low. I think it was like under 200 gigs a month. For we're not talking a phone bill. We're talking Wi-Fi. You know, just watching Netflix and using the internet. If you do it for a little bit too long, you'll hit that limit. Pretty easily. 200 gigs is not a lot. And after that, then they down throttle you back to basically dial up again, and then it's unusable. And the other thing we noticed is that the internet would be heavily affected on cloudy days. So literally if you had clouds in the sky, the internet would get worse. Now, I don't know if technology has improved. Maybe it has, and satellite internet's not that bad anymore. But
you know,
in my experience, it was a tragedy, and it was barely better than dial-up.
Yikes!
We never experienced any of that. The only satellite thing I had was DirecTV in the 2000s, like early 2000s. But I couldn't tell you
when I was a baby.
Like, dude, all I remember is like dial up. Were you ever around for dial up? Like to experience that?
Yeah, I had dial up like way back when I was a little kid. That's the first internet thing that I remember. But
I have recollection of it. I can. Yeah.
I never really used it.
Conjure up the memory.
Welcome. You got mail. Back when it was on AOL.
When we had dial up, it was. That was when we watched our first YouTube video, and it was one YouTube video a day.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the commitment. It was like, here's the video we're going to watch today. And you would click it, and then you would have to wait the entire day to watch the entire video. And I think the video is still up to this day.
Oh, this was back when YouTube would actually, you can see the loading bar and the playing bar that would fill up. And so you could kind of play like that. It wouldn't just buffer in random spots.
So I just looked it up. It's still here. I don't know if anyone remembers this. It was pretty viral. But 11 years ago, Film Cow uploaded Charlie the Unicorn.
Yeah.
Which
Charlie.
Was...
Charlie. No, not... Yeah. Wait, no. That's...
that's not that one.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
that's
the wrong one.
If you had Charlie in the title, it just went viral for some reason. That's just how the algorithm worked. But
there was no
11
algorithm.
Years ago. It's 3 minutes and 46 seconds. And it took us essentially the entire day to watch it because we would load so slow that we opened the video and then we'd wait like 2 hours. We'd all go into our rooms and then come back out and huddle around the computer and press play. And it would play like the first 10 seconds. And then we would pause and then go back to all our rooms,
Charlie,
wait another few hours.
I'm surprised you watched that, Drew. Isn't that like vulgar humor for younglings to watch?
It was funny enough at that age.
Yeah.
I don't think it was too vulgar.
Did you actually watch the whole series when they actually started making it?
Oh, yeah. When we had HughesNet satellite internet, we watched all of them. We were like, we're living like royalty. We can watch.
Kiss the ring.
And then you hit that data cap.
Yeah. I can watch 2 to 3 videos in a single day. This is absurd. So when people hear me talk about the only thing that matters where I live is the internet speed, that's where that history comes from, was the growing up with the bottom of the barrel internet. After HughesNet sucked, we got AT&T UVerse, which
and how does
luckily
that work?
Was unlimited. It was through the phone line, so it was, you know, what,
okay,
what
so
would
you had
most
to have
of
a
us
physical
would call.
Connection?
It would be a coax cable, yeah. It's not satellite.
Okay, so it wasn't like LTE though, right? Because we're
looking at
a few of those options. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did mess around with that. UVerse is through the phone, so it's the same internet you would get from Xfinity. It's just UVerse is using old wiring, and Xfinity uses new wiring. From what I've heard and gathered over the years is that AT&T, when they ran their phone lines, they knew that data could be carried over them someday. So they basically had one line for output, you know, when you're on the phone, one line for input, and then they included 3 extra cables for data that they would later activate one day. So they were kind of future-proofing themselves, but the mistake there is that while, yes, UVerse can provide you internet, because it's only 3 lines, it's going to be, like, infinitely slower and laggier than a just up-to-date new cable. And that's what Comcast did, and that's why Comcast has a monopoly here, is because basically UVerse, Xfinity, they're the same price, but Xfinity is about 10 times or 100 times the speed because they just ran new cables, and they have around five lines, or no, they don't have them equal. I think it's around eight lines for download and two lines for upload, yeah. And that allows for, you know, I have gigabit at my house for download, not upload, but I wish they were equal. That would be really nice.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, so growing up, when we got UVerse, it was kind of a godsend, but then once you want to start doing YouTube videos, it was a curse, because at the time when we got UVerse, it was like, wow, a megabit down, and there's no data cap. We were like,
I can watch six videos.
So lucky. Yeah, we can watch videos as long as we want to. So for us, UVerse was a great upgrade because we didn't have to worry about the cap anymore. But later down the road, we were like, oh, there's videos that are above 360p. Whoa, what's 1080p? And then I would go to friends' houses and see that they had 1080, and I was like, what? You can watch high res? It made no sense. So yeah, once I became a YouTuber, and it took, you know, it was like an 8-hour process to upload a tiny, tiny video, because our upload for UVerse was like nothing. It was under a megabit. It was like 0.1 megabits.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, that's my obsession with fast internet. So that's
yeah. So here's the funny part, though.
Okay.
Where they bought their house, it's like in the middle of nowhere in Missouri, and
out of
almost all of the windows. Yeah.
You mean misery?
Pretty much. Sorry to everyone who lives in Missouri, but yeah, it is misery. Anyway, they are line of sight with an LTE tower from Verizon. Mm. And that nice. LTE tower most definitely has a fiber cable running to it. It's
probably,
like less than a mile away. The LTE speeds I was getting there are like 90 to 100 down and
sweet.
90 to 130 up.
Okay.
Like that's good. It's internet I have never experienced in my life. I'm pretty sure I'm probably the only one using that tower. I was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, so when we were looking at ISPs, I was like, I wonder if Verizon just has like a box that converts the LTE to a, you know, Ethernet or Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do.
Yes.
But then they have data caps.
Okay.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. why? It's like,
probably because
let me tell you the price though. $140. How many gigabytes do you think that gets you?
$125 would get you, I would argue, half a terabyte? No, I mean half a gigabyte?
25
half
gigs.
A gigabyte?
Wait. Well, are we talking download?
No, not speed. Total cap. Like, how many YouTube videos you can watch.
Oh, wait. No. None.
So, cap. Like, HughesNet, you know, has...
No cap.
Okay, no cap.
For
Randy says no cap.
Anything over $100, no cap.
Okay, Drew, what do you think?
20 gigs.
Oh! Now you're going to make it sound like it's a lot. 80 gigabytes. $140
oh, wow.
for 80 gigabytes.
No, that's
down
not good,
and
though.
Up.
That's
so
awful.
If your uplink also counts against your 80 gigabytes.
Do they count against? Do they count collectively?
Yeah, so you can download 40 gigabytes and upload 40 gigabytes, or download 60 gigabytes and upload 20 gigabytes.
Jeez.
It's awful.
Yeah, that's not worth it at all.
It's not worth it at all. But the speed would be amazing. And the latency there is like...
For a couple days, yes.
Yeah, exactly. A couple days out of the month, you'll have amazing internet. My dad was like, why don't we just do that? We're never going to use 80 gigabytes. And I looked at him, and I'm like, you realize you watch like six Netflix. That'll be 80 gigabytes on your 4K TV on Netflix.
That would be great if you were like, I need to send emails from home. Okay,
yeah, right?
Then sure. Yeah, $140 a month. That works.
Yeah, so we didn't end up going with that. But in all this research, you know, we said we weren't going to talk about Tesla, but we didn't say anything about SpaceX.
Wait, we're going to talk
about
Tesla
later.
In
all my research, I found Starlink. And I know that Elon has talked about Starlink quite a bit, but I did a lot of research on Starlink recently.
Okay.
And it is interesting. basically,
I've done a little research on it.
Yeah, basically, the goal is to give every square inch, you know, of the populated Earth, not over the poles, but every square inch of Earth, basically what amounts to like four or five bars of LTE as far as speed and bandwidth.
Yeah.
With a receptor so you're saying that's it's about not the size 5G? Of a pizza box. No, I wouldn't want it to be 5G.
Never mind.
It's coming,
who cares?
It's coming from space instead of the towers.
If
like,
I can't
on.
Have gigabit on my phone, then who cares?
What's the point?
Shut up, Randy. Oh, so that's...
Shut up,
that's,
Randy!
No, that's really cool.
I hate both of you equally.
I'm so cutting your part of the audio out for this episode. So there's going to be like a good 10 minutes of June and I just being silent.
You know,
well,
I wouldn't
that is
put
cool,
it past
though.
Me.
I want yeah, Starlink so, to happen, yeah.
And so the price that they're hitting, they want to hit, is $70 a month for unlimited low latency. So that's the other thing. This HughesNet, its latency is awful.
It
it's
is,
like
yeah.
250 milliseconds minimum.
Right.
That's
250 milliseconds. It's that's, crazy. That's a quarter of a second.
That's
right,
bad.
Right. No, it's awful.
Yeah, like you can't have a phone call with a quarter of a second delay.
But from the research I did on Starlink, they said that they could technically transfer internet data over space faster than we can transfer it with the ground lines that
yes,
go through the ocean.
Yeah, so it's basically the speed of, you know, using LTE or something, because they'll use lasers in space to basically make a fiber network in space is what they're doing.
Correct.
And
yeah,
and that's cool technology there. So the time, the longest wait on the whole Starlink process is going to be the uplink and the downlink of the data. Transferring it throughout the network in space is going to be almost instantaneous.
And that's probably the way it should work.
Yeah,
exactly.
As complicated as space travel is, it's probably cheaper to do that than run wires
a bunch
all
of fibers.
Over the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
you'll
I
have internet
real.
In the ocean, like, you know, all over the ocean and, like, you know, middle of nowhere where no other people had internet, you know, Africa,
all those,
you know.
I'll think of all these movies that are going to be outdated when it's like, oh, there's no service here. It's like, no, there's service everywhere now.
So I, my new dream phone, I saw Marquez posted his dream phone video. My dream phone is literally an iPhone XS Max with a Starlink antenna. Honestly, that is my dream phone.
Like
go
stable,
anywhere.
Consistent connection
yeah.
everywhere.
On the airplane, always, you know, everywhere except the North Pole and South Pole, you have unlimited internet. That's what I want.
Sorry, Antarcticans. Sucks to be you.
Sorry, penguins.
Are they real people, though, if they're down there? Like, do they even know? It's okay. They're better off being one of those undiscovered islands that throw boomerangs at helicopters and all that.
Well, the undiscovered islands will now have internet.
And they won't know what to do
there
with
you
it.
Go.
We'll just drop the pizza box receptor and they'll just...
Right.
What is this?
Do they have any timeline idea on when that's supposed to be available?
So they're supposed to have a constellation for North America and Europe up by the end of the year. But it's Elon
so
time,
means,
so I'm saying end
that
of
means
next
12
year.
Months from now. Yeah,
yeah, at least yeah.
Push it back.
So they launched their first 60 test satellites a couple weeks ago, and they're supposed to do three more launches of production units, which would cover some of North America and some of Europe, just the way the orbits would work.
Well, I'm good if they just cover North America. I'll be fine with that.
That's awesome.
The rest,
whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
You're bad.
Yes. It might make it easier to work in different countries, though.
If, yeah, and like, just think, yeah, whenever you visit another country, you wouldn't need to get a new SIM card. And like,
yeah, would they be selling the internet themselves, or are they selling these towers to other ISPs? Do you know?
Oh, they're not even towers. It's just, you know, I guess right now it would be like a pizza box-sized receptor that you need to put on your car or something, but...
But the service. Are,
why don't
is,
the
Teslas is Tesla,
have
I
that?
Mean, no, I just mean like, will SpaceX become an ISP, or are they going to outsource the financing to other companies?
Oh, I'm
or
sure
no, they're
going to
sell it directly.
So okay. They're going to sell it directly, cut out the middleman, because they
That's
are trying
idea.
To fund Mars. That's how they're going to fund Mars. It's going to be so profitable to run this Starlink business.
That's a good
honestly.
Way to fund it, because
exactly.
The, the rights to Mars aren't going to cover it. I disagree with Elon on that, but I don't know. That's kind of a that's a different discussion entirely.
Okay, so enough about Elon.
Yeah, appreciate before we it. Actually, man, we gotta. What's going on in the smart tech, you know, of phones and stuff, Drew?
The smart post. Okay, I do actually have questions for you guys.
What's up?
Okay.
We briefly touched on it last week, but last week was all about Tesla, and this week is half about Tesla. Google leaked their own phone, which I don't even know if you could call that a leak, because now it's just basically them announcing it. They tweeted out an actual photo of the Pixel 4.
Yeah.
And I was curious if you guys think this is a... Like, if it wasn't Pixel, let's say if it was Apple or a Samsung or I don't know, some or a OnePlus, just decided that, like, 4 months before launch, they wanted to start teasing their phone. Maybe we'll start with you, Randy. Do you think that's a smart business decision to just kind of embrace and put the silence to leaks? Or do you think this kind of ruins it for the announcement?
And you're saying outside of if it was not a Pixel, but just in general, if this was a business
practice?
Yeah,
I know we all hate the Pixel. Yeah. We don't need to establish
do I think it's good? I think the way information is delivered today has changed, and I actually think this is a good business strategy because leaks are inevitable. iPhone is constantly leaking, and sometimes I mean we knew two generations in advance about this off-screen display for the iPhone 10. I think it's good. The reason, the only way it would be bad, but then it doesn't matter because they change it either way, is if throughout the process it's refined. It's like, hey, this is what it's going to look like. Well, actually, you're just showing us a render, and the final product is going to look a little bit different. But that's no different than when we've seen iOS in the past, when we've seen Tesla vehicles in the past, when we've seen now even like those fold phones are changing. So I don't think it really even matters if there's slight changes. If they say this is what we're working on, and you get it from the source, I think it's a good business strategy because we're already commenting on it. It doesn't take away the reporting aspect of it. As an analyst covering the news about it, you don't take anything away. We still have the same speculations because this is what's going to look like. Cool. But what does it do? And like, well, once it's done, we'll show you. Like, we still have to get the same weight when September rolls around for iPhones, for example. So it wouldn't really necessarily matter. But I think it's great because now you're building hype. And if you really don't like the camera display of it, you have all this time to just kind of get adjusted and acclimated to it, because I remember when people were complaining about the notch, right? And now most people, all right, it's there, and they accept it for what it is because time passed, and in a sense, time heals all wounds. So if you just, yep, this is our renders. Here you go. I think it is a good business strategy. Back in the day when we wouldn't have, you know, an onslaught of leaks, the element of what's the new phone going to look like is a special moment. But for the most part, we can kind of still hold that experience in software because it's really hard to leak software, even though software does leak. Hardware, I don't think is as critical about announcing it in advance, especially if they're just renders, than it would be about the interaction with the device, because it's all about software. So if anybody wanted to leak it months in advance, sure. You could have an argument going the other way, but realistically, if you're so big of a company, it's inevitable leaks are going to happen. Just get it from the source, because then you get that effect where if they're so certain it's going to look like a certain way and they've covered it for so long, it's going to be this, and it's going to be called the iPhone X. And then it comes out like, it's called iPhone 10, and it doesn't look like that. It looks like this. You've had all these months instead of what it would look like. You have your own preconceived notion of what you thought it was going to be based off of all the rumor videos and reports you would have read regardless. So get from the source and build the hype, because I think ultimately it doesn't take away the experience. People are going to get hands on with it. It's not a secret we're going to get a phone out this year. It's not a secret we're going to get. Like, it's all anticipated. It's almost expected. It's your business model. So mix it up a little bit. Add some flair.
Okay.
So how do you feel about it, Nick? I have a few different thoughts on that. First off, Steve Jobs already did this. 2010, an entire iPhone 4 was in a bar. We don't have to sit and wonder what if Apple did this. Apple already did. It wasn't.
I don't think that was intentional.
4 months.
That was 100% not intentional.
But it still happened, and we can look at
But that was an actual leak.
That was a hands-on. That's back when they had devices out there being tested. This Google, like, legitimately was like, yep, here's the render.
Yeah, but, like, at the same time, I kind of feel like the media coverage was about the same between the two. Like, it consumed the entire news cycle for, like, 2 days, this pixel leak. My entire YouTube feed was just the pixel leak videos, except for Drew's video, thankfully. And I just stopped watching YouTube that day. Too. Like, oh, you did? I must have blocked that out of my memory.
I was so fast to the subject that you felt like I'd never even made one.
Yes, exactly. Maybe I just unsubscribed from you for a while ago and just failed to mention it. You know, you never know.
That's what that sub drop was.
Yep. All of my fake accounts.
By one. Wait a minute. Look what answer.
No, but I'm asking you, Nick, how do you feel about the company leaking it intentionally, though? Like, not an accident, not a phone left in a bar because he was drunk.
Yeah, okay. But I still think my iPhone 4 analogy stands. But so to your actual question, though.
Absolutely not.
I don't agree with Randy at all.
Okay.
Randy's main point was you should do it because we're all going to, you know, do it anyway. And, you know, we might as well know what it looks like, right?
My main point is if you're going to build hype for the phone, get it from the source. It's no different than when musicians are doing dropping singles for their album and they're releasing it anyway, or you get like an album teaser before it drops. Or same thing with movies. You know what the movie's going to look like.
Yeah.
Movie trailers are the same way.
I get that, but at the same time, it's like an iPhone launch event or, you know, any other company, it's like an event. It's like a show. It's a production. Yeah. It's not a
The trailers don't take away from the production.
Well, okay, we're not talking about movies right now. Let's talk about smartphones.
I think my analogy is better.
Different genre.
Boom.
I don't like your analogy because it doesn't prove my point. I'm going to ignore your analogy.
Well, I can see where you're going with it, though, because like the production and watching the movie, that's the experience. Whereas with the phone, it's not the keynote that's the production. It's the phone that's the production.
What if Apple announced, you know, on Twitter, they posted a picture of the Apple Watch 4 months before the Apple Watch event. And it's like, Tim
that's
Cook.
That's different. That's an old product line.
Okay.
We're talking about phones.
Dang you, Randy. Shut up. I'm right, okay?
No, you bring up a good point, right, though. That I would be annoyed by.
Because there was theater behind, like, even any iPhone, like, even the XS Max, like, as boring of an upgrade as that was, I still enjoy sitting down,
speak for yourself,
watching Tim Cook. I still enjoy Tim Cook getting his clicker, walking out on stage, saying good morning, you know, giving us an update on all the Apple stores and
you
want building to
pretend
the hype.
That you know nothing during those.
Exactly. And I wish I knew nothing, but I can't not know anything. And
maybe
so I wish that,
the
like,
internet.
You know, I tried that, but
it's going to be easy with the Wi-Fi down.
Exactly. HughesNet's helping me out with that.
HughesNet is like, no spoilers.
Good thing Drew only uploads one video a day. I might actually be able to do this. Oh my goodness.
No, but
yeah, it's like
there's
a production,
ton of people who
bring that up. And I enjoy that. Like, you know, you build up to the iPhone. We never go to the event and like, good morning. Now today I'd like to talk to you about the iPhone. No. It starts with the Apple Watch or Apple TV. It goes to the iPad. It goes to the Mac. They talk about the new iPhone. And then
environment.
And then they're like, and we have another thing. And then they bring out the XR. And it's like, that is the event I want. That's like, it slowly, gradually raises to a peak. And that peak is satisfying because it's a product I love and I'm going to use every day. And yeah, that's
but
my point.
Nick, might I ask? Because look, I see you cringing. You're even, you know, this is going to fall apart. had Apple just when we saw that one more thing with the iPhone 10 and we all rolled our eyes like, what, one more thing? We didn't know. They knew it leaked and they were trying to keep face like it didn't. Had they just been more honest with this, like the way I'm going to use your own analogy, Steve Jobs, the first thing he said, stop me if
you
seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, you haven't seen nothing yet. Same thing. You can own it. Own the fact that it comes out, that people have seen it early, instead of going like, we got one more thing. And then it's like you act like it's oh, what? It's not the Apple Watch, because that was a new product announcement. With the iPhone X, we knew it was coming. They knew we knew it was coming. There was no source anywhere that was not talking about this new designed phone that, had they known, since it was just out there, if they put it out there and they got in front of the new news coverage, now they own the narrative. And then when they have their keynote, the same spectacular, let's talk about the Apple Watch, and they do the whole thing, they're controlling the narrative at that point. And then, much like the great SJ himself, you could just be, you could make a joke out of it. Or if you were the one who leaked, it's like, now let's talk about what we've teased earlier this year and actually start going into this. Because you'll still have Craig come out on stage and start demoing all the new features and all these other people who want to show AR. You don't lose anything from it, but it's a bit cheesy and cringy when you act like it didn't happen. It's like, now let's talk about one more. Like, no, we knew it was coming, and now you're just filling dead air. You can have a great keynote like what we got this year with WWDC, just getting straight into it. And, you know, you can even poke fun at the fact that these things are inevitable. It's going to happen. Sure, they want to lock down and try to stop leaks, but it's inevitable. You're the biggest company in the world. It's impossible. There's too big of a target on your back. But if you leak it yourself, or if you announce it yourself, if you do it, now you own the narrative and nobody can take that away from you.
I would almost fall somewhere in the middle and say that for special product announcements, they shouldn't do it.
But of course, yeah.
When the leaks are getting out of control and basically everyone is coming forward with accurate renders, then that's when you embrace it and go, all right.
Let's do this.
Here it is. No surprises here, but yeah, just you're right. So here it is, confirmed.
I almost feel like if Apple did that, though, they would leak like an image that didn't look like the phone. You know how like Tesla leaked the pickup truck or whatever? Like, I feel like they just give us like one line, like three colors on, like, you know, real dark, and just like, you know, the Tesla pickup, and they just be like, coming summer. Like, even if I just can't physically see them, you know, show the entire device like Google did. Like, that's not Apple. Tim Cook is doubling down on secrecy. He has been for a few years.
Google did only show the back, to be fair. Wasn't the front. So there's still a little bit of mystery when the Pixel 4 comes out.
So what you're saying, is when the XS Max came out, they should have just tweeted a picture of a black iPhone X's camera. And
you know what they should have tweeted is the price. So that people wouldn't have been so shocked during the event.
Yeah.
Or just what if you just had, here's what I would do, Andrew Erickson, in charge of Apple marketing. A picture of the iPhone X, the one we had in 2017, and then just a footprint of an iPhone behind it. You don't see all the detail or anything, but you just see that it's bigger and it's in the shadows. So you just know, like, oh, like the plus-sized version is coming. But you can do it with class without giving away everything, exactly. I think. Teaser, you could have a picture of the 2017 trailers. One, and then behind it you see this giant, you know, foreboding statue
Apple,
of an iPhone looking
down. Apple, why
haven't
you hired this
down.
Guy yet? Where's
I'm not
his
sponsored,
Apple
but I
TV
might as well
exclusive.
Be.
Yeah, I read all the YouTube comments, and everyone says you're paid, like,
paid by
Apple. So exactly.
Well, if I was paid by Apple, I probably wouldn't say anything differently. So,
well, since you're getting money by Apple, can I get a pay raise?
Yeah,
yeah, we'll double your salary, Randy, from $0
to
$0.
Can you just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll give you more money?
Yeah.
Under the condition that you lay off the Pro Display.
Hey, if you if you were hired by Apple in some capacity for marketing, would you seize Talosiv or hiatus it, or how would you?
No, no. Well, I don't know. It all kind of comes down to the contract. Maybe I would scale back maybe on the leak stuff, because if I worked for Apple, I might be under contract. They're like, no, you can't talk about the next iPhone now, which 2 years ago, that would have bummed me out. But here in 2019, I'm like, okay, there's not much to talk about anyway. So that maybe the tech channel would orient itself more towards
Tesla.
Yes, of course. product reviews and reviewing the competition and pointing out the flaws in the competition. But I feel like my opinions would be less validated if people knew I was working directly with Apple, because I already get annoyed by that. Some YouTuber I just watched. Oh, I don't. They're a nice YouTuber. I don't want to single them out, so I won't say who. But basically, it's the example of, like, people are ditching Mac because of this new PC brought to you by NVIDIA. Thank you for today's sponsor.
Yes.
NVIDIA GP. It's like, well, mm-hmm. Your argument's a little twisted when you're like, this computer's way better than a Mac, and also I'm sponsored by a company that plays a pivotal role in the, you know, yeah. production of this computer. Or someone saying, you know, the VR
Drew is not bought out. Boom.
Right. I'm not bought out. No one's in. I have no incentive
to
defend
Apple.
That is the
legit definition of selling out.
Yeah.
That's not
true. Which I don't hate people for, you know. You got to pay the bills. I get it. That's one way to do it, and I don't fault anyone for doing it. I just try not to best I can. And, you know, when you make a video on a subject that the sponsor directly correlates with, you know, it's one thing when you're talking about the Pixel Slate and you're sponsored by an air purifier. You know, it's not a yeah. conflict of interest in that
right.
consist in that situation. But when you're talking about a particular product and you're saying, like, this is ready for everyone and everyone's going to enjoy this, and also the sponsor is the company who made it, that would probably mess things up a little bit. So you're right, Nick. I would have to orient myself more towards Tesla, because I wouldn't be sponsored by them or partnered yeah. with them. So anything I say negatively or positively would be genuine, my opinion. But if, I mean, I wouldn't be against reorienting the channel a little bit, because frankly, me reviewing Apple products is probably the most boring part of my channel, because everyone's like, he's the Apple sheep. Of course he likes the Apple product. It's not the valid opinion. Whereas the Apple sheep reviewing the Galaxy S10, that's where more people are like, huh. So he likes that part of it, even though he's an Apple guy. Or if I negatively criticize an Apple product, then people are like, oh, dang. You know, he's biased towards Apple, and he has this problem with it, so it stands out more. Yeah. So just Apple sheep liking Apple products, no one is impressed.
It's almost as if, like, you wanted to inspire critical thinking.
Yeah.
I wonder where I heard that from.
I wonder.
So
as well.
this is a perfect segue for our sponsor of this podcast.
Going
Randy
indie.
Vasquez has a new podcast. Please,
he does, and it's fantastic.
Plug.
Mm-hmm.
Drew check actually goes into the psyche of why he thinks the way he thinks on controversial subjects and stuff like that, and where he goes, and you know what's the craziest thing? Just a very quick pause for tech. What really threw me off, and why I mentioned it in the intro of that particular episode, was how little exposure you had to technology growing up, and,
mm-hmm.
yeah. and seeing how, like, yeah. 180 it, like, that is really cool to me, because you now, more so if anything, you don't have a bias towards tech in the sense that's like, well, I've had it my whole life, so you just expect it has to be a certain way.
Right,
this is coming from a guy who doesn't have any of that exposure, so it's all almost exciting, the good and the bad, and just learn it, because it's a whole new, not world, but platform. It's a whole new, like, side of the industry that you actually now get to work full time in. And it's not mm-hmm. something you grew up with. We all have technology in our lives from early age going forward, but it's not like you were that person who, can I have an iPhone at 5 years old and all that stuff, right? You actually, like, you work really hard
never
for your
bought
dollar.
Me anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I always thought that was really cool. So I think that plays a part in your whole critical thinking and how you're able to be objective in breaking stuff down, but obviously subjective in what you prefer, and mm-hmm. you can make a logical argument about it, because you're not blinded one way or the other, And even more so because was not your first smartphone not? Like, your first smartphone was not an iPhone, right?
Oh, it was an iPhone 5.
That was your first. So, but you had more Androids than iPhones at one point.
Over the years, I've reviewed more Androids than iPhones. Yeah. But so in regards to just amount of time I've spent with smartphones, iPhones obviously are more common.
Especially more but, now, but like growing up.
I just bring that up to people when they're like, you're a Apple sheep, you're an iOS user just because you haven't found the right Android or you haven't tried Android. And,
right.
And I like having that history so that I could say, like, well, I've tried more Androids than iPhones.
Yeah.
I've tried them from multiple different companies, multiple different skins, Android versions. I've tried the ones everyone recommends. I've tried the ones that are the most popular. And I've done reviews on them, and I still come back to the iPhone. So that's my whole purpose with that whole argument of, as of now, I've used more Androids than iPhones, but not for as long, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So that was our sponsor break. Ooh.
So that's our sponsor break.
Go take a look at Drew if you want to get to know about him. Yeah, yeah.
It's in the description below. Just click the link. You're already in a podcast app. It's super easy, guys. Come on. What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. I have to ask you guys a question.
All right.
And it is Tesla related.
We've talked about phones and stuff.
I have one more
minutes.
Apple-y thing to talk about.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
But this is a legit question I want to bug you guys about afterwards.
We'll get to the legit question. I have a frivolous point to make, though.
Okay.
beta 2 of all of the betas.
Oh, yeah.
Are any of y'all running it? What's your status of the betas?
Both my devices.
Okay. So iPadOS and iOS 13?
And watchOS 6, yeah.
Okay.
And macOS Catalina.
Okay, so you're on the beta 2 of all those. Randy.
Yeah, but latest beta.
I am literally on 12 everything.
Your iMac is running iOS 12.
I'm on 12. My Apple Watch is on iOS 12.
Yes, there you go.
So listen, I see how fluid everything's becoming, and I'm living vicariously through you guys, and I am dying to get on the public beta. I've had one bad experience for iOS 9 that bricked everything, and ever since then I was like, I'm never doing another pre-beta.
No, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of very annoying bugs that I am not fond of. So anyone who chooses to wait for the full release, I don't blame you at all.
I'll probably get on one of the public betas just because I'm excited to play with the portrait mode new settings, but the iPad's a different story. The iPad, like before, my iPad was a secondary device, and so I would put every beta on it. I am hesitant because my iPad is my primary computer out and about. I'm going to hurt you. I don't want to brick it. And I know it's not going to brick, but I don't want it to crash. I don't want it to be weird. But once they announce the public beta for everything, I'll probably jump on board and assume the risks then. Yeah.
Okay.
What's up, Nick?
I haven't had good Wi-Fi or internet, so I was on. I've had quite the experience. Obviously, getting the betas on was not fun.
Yeah.
But before I updated my phone to 13, I did not install the profile for my watch yet.
Okay.
And so when I updated to 13, my phone was like, "Your watch needs to be updated to continue to work." But the watch couldn't update because I didn't have the profile. I hadn't downloaded the profile first. So I ended up having to go back on my phone to 12, whatever, you know, repair my watch, restore my phone, restore my watch, download the profile, update my phone, update the watch. And y'all noticed a few seconds ago I just walked across the other side of the room. I'm officially running watchOS 6. It finally finished.
Oh, you got it working.
Notification. Hey. Yep.
Good.
I'm very happy. I still need to
enjoy your calculator.
Yes, I'm excited for the calculator and all the other features. But
like menstrual
tracking. Here's yes, very important. So here's kind of what I wanted to point out, though. I used my iPad on iOS 12 for like 4 months. I finished my master's degree. I wrote a thesis on it. Like I did so much work on my iPad.
Okay.
And now that I have iOS 13 or iPad OS, which is supposed to be this iPad focused pro level, you know, iPad experience.
Sure.
I also now have a MacBook. And now that MacBook Air, I'm still trying to find a place. Like I remember talking about this a long time ago, like when I was first leaving Mac, but I said, I don't want to have to make a decision whenever I leave which computer to take, my iPad or my Mac or both. And now I have to make that decision again. But the thing with iPadOS, it's all different. The way that I used to do things is all broken. Like, obviously, it still works kind of the same way, but, like, multitasking and slide over and it's Nick, they're good
features.
Tell
me what's broken. I will tell you how to fix it. What's different?
Okay, sensei. for instance, I'm used to being able to lazily swipe up on any part of my any part of the bottom of my display to go home or to get to the home bar. Okay. But now when I have a slide over window open on the right or left third of the display, if I swipe up, I get this weird little extra multitasking view where I get all my slide over apps. And that's not how I've used my iPad before. And also,
you know how to get rid of the slide over apps?
Yeah, just have one at a time. But I have...
No, but do you know how to close those apps?
No, I don't. I always bring them into equal, and then I swipe one away. How do you?
Because it's the exact same way you do it on an iPhone. That's the beauty of it. You swipe up from that home bar, and then when the background's blurred and you have slide over, just swipe up on that app to dismiss it, just like your iPhone.
Oh, well, yeah. I get that. But how do you make the slide over go away? Like, I have voice memos that I'm recording on, and I have notes on top of that as a slide over window. How do I make the notes app go away? I can't just swipe it away like I used to. It's like stuck.
You just swipe up and hold and then swipe away.
It doesn't work. So you don't need to run tech support for me. You're not Tim Cook, and I'm not a shareholder during the annual shareholder meeting.
I am Tim Cook, Nick. You leave me
really
alone.
Really? It was the good glasses morning. And the hair that really confused me, but yeah. I think we're good now.
The clicker. So you're upset that they changed what you were used to.
Yeah, and I sound like an old man for saying that, but yeah.
And you're the youngest one out of all of us.
Ouch.
Well, that
ouch,
means
ouch.
That iOS 12 is the biggest percentage of Nick's life out of all the three of us.
Yeah.
Because he's the youngest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. True, true.
Mm. True.
By that measure, though, iOS 13 and iPadOS is also the largest percentage of my life. So, you know, enjoy that.
Okay, to answer your question.
Obviously, I'll get used to it, but it's just kind of like.
I hope you get used to it.
Take your iPad. That's the answer to your question. Choose the iPad.
Okay.
Yes, the MacBook stays at home. It's just a slightly more mobile desktop.
But it's so pretty. Like, the outside of the MacBook is just so pretty. I want to hold it. I want to touch it. And I want to bring it with me.
iPad, it welcomes, like, wanting to be touched. It's so... That square design, it's boss. You want it.
It welcomes...
Welcomes it. It's a single slate of glass.
Did someone say slate?
Ooh. Good transition.
It's canceled.
Yeah, for good.
Who
which means
guessed?
Our Talos of Skid is a bit dated.
Except
now.
You can still buy one, I think. Even though they have no plans on doing anything with it.
It's almost like Google can't keep a product line going for more than a few days.
Darn.
Hashtag cancel the Pixel phones in 2020.
Hey, that would be nice.
Hey, when are we getting? That would be great. When are we getting our Apple credit card? Because I'm tired of waiting.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I want that immediately too. Did you see John's video about it?
Of course I did. And you know what? That's a risk I'm willing to take.
Who? I didn't see it. Please, tell me about this.
I read about this story because apparently two Apple employees who have been testing the Apple card, I can confirm that's been happening. I've been contacted by Apple employees as well with screenshots of the Apple card process and setup and everything. And two people emailed John saying that their card has been compromised, or I guess the physical card somehow has been either replicated or being used elsewhere.
I thought there weren't.
He
any
goes into
on
more.
It, how is it replicated?
Right. That's why he's confused, and that's why I'm confused. So
.
I don't believe that he's reporting on a hoax. I'm not saying John's lying or anything like that. I genuinely
lying.
Believe.
No, he's going off of the information provided.
Tristan, John
he's going
is
off,
lying, Mom.
Yes, yes. And the screenshots look legit. They don't look edited. The screenshots they sent him that have the Apple card and the locations of where you've used the card. That all looks real. I just have to wonder how it's even possible that someone could steal, because he said in his video that the card that's being used is the physical one at the different locations, which are out of the state that the employees are in. And I'm just like, how can you even do that, though? Like, I get how other credit card fraud works. You know, you use the card, they make a duplicate of it, and then they sell it, and they can use it in other places until the bank cancels it. That happened to my parents before. So I know what that's like. But
I've had that happen.
Yeah. So that's my question with these Apple Card fraud reports. Is I don't even see how it's possible to steal it. I mean, are we supposed to assume that they like were hacked? Or maybe
it's definitely not coming from the phone, because the phone, everything's stored locally.
Right.
So,
and the physical card is its own separate thing. It's its own thing. No physical numbers on it.
The only thing that would tell me that happened is that the only thing that's compromising is the strip. That strip is still there.
Yeah.
And that's our last open defense that we have that's like still exposed. Mm-hmm. We have to get rid of that strip, and we're getting closer. There's a transitional period that's happening. We are getting closer, but it had to have come from the strip, because the chip is designed that it can't be replicated like that. The security that's in the chip part, it won't happen. But that magnetic strip is open. It's an open source, so to say. The thing that I don't know is how they obtained the card number then, because that information is not on the date of the strip.
Yeah, it is. The card number's on the strip. The strip, the magnetic strip holds like 3 or 4 pieces of information.
Well, then that's
the
how
the card number, the CVC, and the name of the person.
Right, but the card purchases that were not authorized were out of state.
Yeah, that part.
Original card holder.
That so part's here's easy. Here's what happened. Here's what happened. The Apple employee took their titanium Apple card somewhere that wasn't safe.
Somehow you're still selling me on it, Nick. Ooh, titanium.
It's lighter than the platinum card. Okay, gosh. I have more thoughts on the Apple card, but let me finish this. They took it to somewhere that wasn't safe. They swiped it. Soif. Whoever got the numbers, you know, they cloned the card.
Yes.
And then they're swiping it. They sold the numbers probably online somewhere. And and someone's using it in a different state. So. Yes. That MagStripe strip has your card number, your authorization, your CVC number, and your name encoded on it. And so that is very vulnerable.
100, you know.
And so that's how that happened.
We cannot. It's impossible to prevent the identity theft off of a card as long as that magnetic strip is still in existence. And this is something the whole banking industry is very much aware of, because hence why they started incorporating the chips in the first place, because it's a almost century old mechanism.
They've been around a while.
It needs to go away.
A long time.
Yeah, it's old.
No, so it shouldn't be replaced by chips. You all probably
it
have
should
seen
be replaced
video
by
about
Apple
why
Pay. Exactly.
Yeah. So here's
stuff.
Here's the problem with the chips, though. They take so long that it's actually cheaper for the bank to refund people who are scammed when they use, or you know, got their identity stolen from the credit card swipe. It's easier for the bank, it's cheaper for the bank to just refund the people who get identity theft than it is for them to process these chip and PIN or just chip transactions, because they take so much longer. So Chipotle is a great example of this. Whenever the merchant swipes the card instead of using the chip, it's the merchant's responsibility for any fraud that happens. But Chipotle has done the numbers, and they've figured out it's cheaper for them to just swipe it and take the responsibility of refunding any fraudulent transactions than it is for them to hold up the line to wait for the chip reader to work. Because they're all about throughput. They don't want to make people wait 10 seconds to pay. They just want to swipe and then be done. Obviously,
plus
Apple Pay is just as fast
on their
as
chips.
That is the thing.
Sorry.
The only thing faster than swiping it is obviously Apple Pay. And Apple 100%. Pay is the answer.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even Android Pay is still going to be faster than swiping. So I
it
support
is. It is.
All forms of contactless payment on the Apple Card. I have a few thoughts. I read an article. I don't remember. It was like iMore or something. Someone leaked that with a credit score of 700, someone got approved for $1,000 in credit limit. That is insanely low, in my opinion. That is insanely, insanely, insanely
low. What,
the
credit score is low or the limit
no,
is
no.
low?
No, no. So the credit score limit. 700 is about average. I mean, average maybe like 680 or something. So 700 bit better than average. But $1,000 credit limit is, I can't fathom like how low that is. Like my first credit card had $4,000 and I had no previous
what was your,
credit history.
What was
Discover,
your score?
Discover it. I had zero credit history. It was an empty file.
My first credit card gave me a credit limit of $500.
Yeah.
I was going to say my first credit card was $1,000 as well, and I had no credit history.
But you worked up from that, right? Like, no one
well,
here
obviously.
Has $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, yeah.
Like, I don't...
My,
I'm like,
and if
I'm
not,
just,
I
like,
have
much
Nick
higher
and
now.
Sweeney to make me an authorized user on one of his bottomless credit cards. Right.
Well, so here's the thing, though. I'm like, I don't know if I, you know, took my credit score, which is higher than a 700, and they give me something like $1,000 or $2,000 or even like $5,000 in credit limit, I don't think I could survive in that. I have
Nick,
more throughput than that in a month.
The point is not
like,
to be in debt.
Earth? No, it's not debt. I pay it off every month. Right?
Well, then there you go.
Card.
Do what Drew does and pay it off.
I don't want to pay
later.
It off eight times. I don't want to pay it off eight times a month.
Why?
Like,
you
okay,
get paid
schedule
eight
it.
Times
it's in the app.
Okay,
it's in the wallet app.
I don't want to have to deal with it. I have a time in the month where I sit down and deal with all of my finances.
But
and that
Nick,
time
keep
of the
in
month,
mind, no actual customer has the Apple Card yet. So if they are doing this private testing internally,
okay.
It would make sense
that's
for
true.
Them to keep the limits low. You could be right, though. It might end up being $1,000, though I do think it is not just your credit score that matters. They take a lot of things into consideration. For one, they take in your annual income. They take in your age can affect that. And they ask for all that information when you sign up for it. So to me, it makes sense that maybe someone who... I mean, I've never missed a credit card payment. My score is way above 700, so it's probably dependent on when that person's score got dropped most recently.
Yeah,
and it's also dependent on what their annual income is. That they probably set it at 1,000. I feel like
yeah,
there's a ton more factors.
I'm very sorry, Drew, but you're out of your element here. You're trying to school the
ahead.
Amex sheep about
wait, no. Go ahead. I want to hear.
But I'm not out of my element, and Drew's not wrong with
no.
What he's
Drew's
saying.
Not wrong. I'm just saying that wasn't my point. My point isn't that.
No.
My point
you're
is
you're going
$1,000
off of an article that told you something that is in beta testing right now, and for security
yeah.
purposes, especially if this stuff is getting. Completely compromised and leaked. I know. I almost said something. But if this is leaking, or if people are getting compromised cards, yeah, you want to keep the credit limit low. And these people who are Apple Store employees are kids who this might be one of their first jobs. People who have a certain annual income or who have been working for a very long time. I trust all three of us. And quote me on this, and if I'm wrong, I will say I'm wrong later. I think all three of us will get way higher than $1,000 based off of our credit card history, our income, or age, or a little bit of altogether. Because
well, I can guarantee that we won't, because I won't be getting an Apple Card. You're
know.
Wrong.
We
yeah,
know
he will. No, he will. Trust.
I will not.
He's going to see us get the card. He's going to get jealous. We're going to be like,
it looks ugly. It looks like a white piece of paper.
I hate you. I hate you. This podcast is over. Goodbye. I'm leaving. I'm done.
Seriously, though. It's just like.
Keep telling yourself that, Nick.
A white card. All the pictures. I'm like, this is so ugly. Like, I don't get the hype behind it.
You're telling me a MacBook looks good, but your Amex looks better than that Apple card?
Bull.
Quit lying to yourself. That's
bull. So my Amex, though, doesn't have. A preset spending limit, and I just
so,
can't wrap my
we're
head
talking
around
about limit. We're talking about
I just can't
things.
Wrap my head around having
your
like
Amex
oh
card
you can
is
only
a charge
spend
card,
$1,000
card.
Before you pay it off
things.
Or $3,000.
It's in beta testing, Nick.
Okay, even if it's $3,000
so
or $5,000,
I hope your credit score is better than.
Yeah, my
also
credit
no,
score is much better
most
than
credit cards when you start you off low and then they work you way up.
Yeah.
If you pay $1,500 a year, the limit's going to be a lot more, obviously.
Okay, here's the thing though. I'm just so used to charge cards that don't have preset spending limits. I just seeing like, oh yeah, you can only spend $5,000 before you have to pay it off. Like that's just like so contrary to how I've been doing things for the past 2 years. Like you spend whatever you want and you pay it all off at the end of the month. Like that's how it works. Like your credit limit is your bank account, honestly.
But Nick, the whole point of the Apple credit card or what Apple's doing is that they are changing it up where it's done on your phone the same way of closing these. But they're obviously creating a new way of like engaging with financing. It's or finances as a whole, starting with that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they move to an online bank as well. But what they are doing is out of the norm intentionally. Instead of doing like a dedicated one day, here's your billing statement. They want to have engagement with it. They want people to know where the money's going while also being a business, because some people don't know how to be responsible with money, and that's another source of services that will, Apple will make some money off of. But ultimately, they started off by saying, it's like, we want to change the banking industry a bit. And
I understand that. It's just not how I want to do my life. I
trust
100%,
even if you don't want to stick with it.
We believe you.
Yeah. I trust 100%, though. You are going to try
long-term
it. You're curious.
Pro credit card users. This is totally catered towards people without credit cards or things like that.
I understand where it's targeted towards. I'm just saying you all think that I'm going to get it, and I will.
You are.
It will be
this is the same guy who says, I'm not putting a beta on iOS 13, and now everything's a beta.
I never said that. The promise I made to you, Randy, was that I will always be able to record the podcast without using a beta. That's having two devices without a beta. I'm recording on my phone, which is a bit... everything's on a beta right now, but if I wanted to, I could boot my
MacBook.
Yeah, exactly.
So you already broke your promise.
I didn't say I would. I said I could. The
No,
to you, Randy.
Now you're
the
now
exact
you're
words I said
picking.
To you, Randy.
You're
oh
splitting hairs here. 100%. Nick, I know you. You said 100%.
I said I would always be able to record a podcast.
Okay. Nick, what you're doing right now, Nick, what you're doing right now is you're deflecting. You're deflecting, and I'm calling you out on it because I don't bite that. I don't play that. Here's what's going to happen, guaranteed. And the only reason why you won't do it is because I'm calling you out on it right now, but I promise it will happen still. You will get the Apple credit card for the bare minimum of all else as a collector's item. You would want that actual tangible card just to see it.
But I don't want to have my average age of accounts go down. I don't want to have my inquiry go up.
100%. You love
Apple so
much.
I have no need for it. I have no need for it, buddy.
You have no need for all the Amex cards that you have, but you have it because you like it. There's nothing
wrong with
it.
I actually use the Amex cards.
And you're going to use the Apple card too.
With what? What does it do for me? I still am confused.
You buy everything Apple, literally everything Apple, and you get more points back or cash back using the Apple credit card.
I don't care about cash back or points or any of that.
You would use the card to buy your next iPhone, whatever we're going to call, I don't even know, RS.
I'm going to buy it on the iPhone upgrade program. I'm not going to pay cash for it.
Yes, you are, because you don't like to have debt.
Also, I will mention that yesterday Nick and Sweeney texted us and said, I'm officially switching to the Note 10.
He's full of it. He's just
We have that on the record.
We do. Nick is just full of it. Even if you go back to our group
text. Do you
want
to give a little more context to that or just leave me high and dry?
No.
You might be able to delete all your parts of the group text, Nick, but I got a record of it. I will go back and I will call you out
you
on
wanna,
all of it.
Speaking of context, do you want to give us some context to this black JPEG you sent the group chat like 30 minutes ago? What
Please?
Is that?
Yes, that black JPEG was just what I would imagine Apple was posting as, we're working on the next iPhone, stay tuned. It's like literally three different colors of gray.
We were so confused.
I have no...
When
what?
You sent that. Randy
well,
put
that's
the little
what we were
question
talking
bubble
about,
on
I,
it.
I sent that while
talking,
I was making
Randy
that point.
Randy was like,
what?
What are we looking at here? Is this like a glitch in the stock?
It's the next iPhone. It's the next iPhone, guys.
Like,
come
did
on.
You draw a line at the bottom?
Yes.
With your pinky?
Why is it so like curvy?
It's
I don't so understand.
It's the new iPhone.
Like you have Parkinson's, Nick.
See, now I'm going to have to post that picture on Twitter. Thanks for bringing it up, folks.
You're welcome.
It looks like it just looked.
You didn't give us context. We were just like, what?
I was literally talking about that picture while I sent it to you. So, you know.
Yeah, but we weren't
go back
listening.
Go
we
back
were
and
just
listen
confused.
To the. You weren't listening to me talk? Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense now.
Not when I get sent a black JPEG.
Listen, if, yeah, if you send something like, ambiguous what? Like that, I'm like, what are we looking at?
That's the point, guys. That's the point I was okay. making. Apple would post a picture that we'd all just be like, what are we looking at?
I can tell what the pickup looks like from that teaser image. I can
yeah.
see it.
Yeah. Is it the front or
it's
the back,
the hood.
Though, until Elon confirmed
it's
we didn't
the front.
Know? I thought it was the back until Elon said it's the front. I
no,
thought
it was
the back.
It was the front. I could tell.
We should...
We're not talking about Tesla.
Okay, fine. Well, on that...
So,
on the,
oh, hey. Can. Oh, no. Hey, I have an interesting story. So, yesterday, I guess it was this morning... Randy,
go.
You don't want to hear my voice? I guess you don't want to hear my voice.
We're saving up for the Randy finale here. That's what's going on.
Yes. Randy can't wait to talk about his new car. We don't
no,
want to
no,
hear
no,
about
no.
it.
It's not about
jealous.
It's okay. We're actually.
I
want
to hear about it.
And you oh, know that skit that Jimmy Kimmel does, and we're out of time when every time Matt Damon comes on? We are literally out of time. I will not be able to talk about the my thing. But that's okay. It's a question I can totally ask offline too. But, No, tell your thing.
All I was going to say is I sat down in my seat on an airplane yesterday because I took like 5 flights yesterday.
We and, get it, Nick. You travel. You love your Amex Platinum. We get it.
I'm making an Apple
Centurion
plane.
Centurion Lounge
in the
lounge
seat,
access
in the,
first class. We get it, Nick. You're bougie.
In
bougie and Sweeney. Poor Drew and I
seat.
Feel like peasants.
Let's
we
hear it.
Apple card.
What's in the seat, Nick? What's in the seat?
A
in
mint.
The seat, I sat down and I looked over
and
I
a mint.
Saw a lightning to 3.5 jack adapter shoved between the seat cushion and the armrest. And
oh,
I was
wow.
just like, oh, that poor person is cursing Apple right now because they lost their adapter and their phone doesn't have a 3.5 jack.
Oh.
That was my only
point.
Was
this in first class?
That's a shame.
Yes, it was.
Wow. They need AirPods. They need to go with those. They need a Best Buy. They have Best Buy Mobile in those airports. You can go up and buy AirPods real quick.
How do you guys feel? This is real. How do you feel about Best Buy not being able to service iPhones?
I thought they can now.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, how do you feel about, like, now they can. Apple's making them actual, like, authorized service.
Yeah, that's great. I'm happy for them.
Do you guys ever go to Best Buy?
Nope.
Very rarely. We have one. Occasionally, if I need some kind of electronic and I don't want to wait for it, I'll get it there. But yeah, it's probably less than 3 times a year, I think.
Oh, wow.
I think the last time I was in a Best Buy was like Christmas. Like, my sister and I were trying to find something for my uncle, and he's an Android fan. And we weren't sure what to get him, so we wandered around Best Buy for like an hour before we found like headphones.
Oh.
But I literally think that was the last time we were in Best Buy.
I wonder if the Pro Display will be there.
I think they
no.
can't afford to have it there. I think it's too expensive.
Really?
Maybe.
They just put a stand on it.
They
then
don't
it would
have
be
the iMac Pro there.
They don't have the iMac Pro for the same reason. The most expensive thing that they have there tech-wise... even their washer and dryers are not that expensive, but I'd say it's one of the drones that
they're probably
they
not worried about someone stealing a washer though.
Yeah, you can't walk out. But the drones are behind like 2 layers of glass.
Oh, okay.
For display,
bulletproof.
Yeah, it's interesting that Best Buy saved themselves from bankruptcy and going out of business like everybody else because they changed their business model a bit because they know we'll go over there. I ask because I go maybe on average. It doesn't happen every single month, but on average, I'd say once a month. And
okay.
It's to the point where it's like, if you're going to match Amazon either way and you have the product right here, then I'll just buy it here. And they've been very clever on slowly converting to, instead of just being like, oh, here's on display, buy us, and here's all that. They found a way to incorporate more services. And I see them having that business relationship now official with Apple that their Apple, at least the one here, their Apple side of the store is progressively getting bigger. And it looks like it's like almost like Apple's slowly moving in.
Yeah, almost.
Because they have a dedicated employee who is, I think, Apple.
Right.
He only stays in the Apple side of things. He has
I noticed
shirt.
That too.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. It looks like they
it's like a mini Apple store.
Yeah.
Kinda. They have the HomePod. They have Apple Watches. They have watch bands. They have all the iPads, all
accessories
the
accessories that are third party right there.
Do they,
and at mine,
do
they have a couple iMacs. They don't have iMac Pro, but they do have a couple.
They have all the iMacs from the 21-inch and or whatever. You know, the 4K and the 5K one. They have them there.
Yeah.
They had all the MacBook Pros, and they had the iPads, all the variants of the iPads that are modern. It's not like, oh, 2018. They actually keep them updated now with the newest.
Right, right.
And the interesting thing is you have those HomePods, like, they're not selling, man. They're on the side, and I see all these boxes of HomePods just sitting. And they're like, we got one like back.
Yeah. Anybody want a HomePod? Please? Anybody? Please?
Please? Black Friday's around the corner again soon, eventually.
Yeah.
That was my worst
buy. It's $5 now.
So I haven't been like in the Apple Store part of a Best Buy in a while. Do they still have those stupid like security things that like beep if you look at it sideways?
What?
Like Best Buy.
I mean,
and
Apple stores
Office
have them
Depot.
Too. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like Apple, like is very seamless. They just have like the little circle.
They have the same security.
Apple and Best Buy have the same thing. One.
They have the same
really?
Security. Okay. That's an Apple. The only thing that's different is because the watches aren't underneath a glass display on the table.
They
is a magnetic connector to the Apple Watch. Besides just the charge, so you got the charging. It'll dock. Like you have on your nightstand, and it goes into the alarm clock.
Aren't they like glued in though? Like you can't wear them.
Those ones, yes, those are the ones that are glued in. So
yeah, at Best Buy they're not free handling, whereas at Apple Store
that's
you can
the only
straight
difference.
Up try them on.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, if you want a more engaging experience and you want to try the different bands, the loop bands or any other bands for an Apple Watch accessories.
Yeah, that'll be in an Apple.
Go to Apple if you want to look at the iMac Pro. If you want to look at the Mac Pro, the trash can one that's still there.
The Pro Display XDR.
They used one of their TVs. So Best Buy will use Apple TV to demo one of their 4K TVs that they're trying to sell for LG or something, or even Samsung. I think the business relationship is actually an interesting one because they show you more accessories in a way that maybe Apple wouldn't want to openly promote Samsung TVs, but you'll see them use LG or the other ones. But they have everything kind of integrated. So Best Buy is like, hey, look at all these other things that kind of interact with one another. And then right next to it, you got your Apple, or not your Apple, but your Microsoft table, which is like the Microsoft store. And then you got Google next to that, where that was showing all those tablets that are, I guess, now irrelevant. But you see them one by one by one. So anyway.
Yeah, the booth at Best Buy for Apple is getting better and better at looking like an Apple store. I think they have the same tables, those big wooden ones.
Mm.
At least at mine they do. They look very similar, but yeah,
I have something to do today. I can go to Best Buy and investigate this.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to go to Best Buy's all the time because they had all the tech I didn't have and wanted, so I would just go play with it. Now I don't need to do that. But do we have any closing remarks before we wrap up? Hey, good job not talking about Tesla, guys. We did a good job.
I hope you're happy, audience.
Even Randy after bought Randy bought one.
Yeah.
Okay, you have to briefly sum up how it's been owning one.
Actually,
go subscribe to the Tesla Experience channel because I'm going to be putting out a video. I'm filming the rest of it today and I'll be putting out immediately.
Perfect.
Boom.
Already done. I'll be staying tuned
Not
for
immediately.
That.
Immediately, yes.
Immediately.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Love you, Viper.
Alrighty, folks. Thank you all for listening and we will catch you all next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Bye.